Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, man, get off my...
Welcome to the war room. We got Darren, Kim, Jimmy, PJ, B-Boss, and the Hot Block Commander.
How you wanna end up on a two-hour show and keep the brain running with the premise to talk sports on a national level? Both with the topic, sort of like the rubber. When it's game time, they like the Fab Five during prime time. Sports conglomerates speak their minds a little bit. For sports medicine and sports veterans and greats. The 4 for 26, so the war in Kuwait. It's the war room with five knights at the round table. Five Philly guys, diversified and educated.
Happy Cupid Day to all you lovebirds out there. Welcome to the roundtable. You are once again live in the War Room, brought to you by War Room Sports, the company that's revolutionizing the revolution in sports media. I'm Devin McMillan, and with me at the roundtable is Jimmy Williams, B. Austin, and Akil Bayon. We got a great show for you today, so we hope you can give a listen before leaving for that restaurant. Well, we'll definitely discuss the NBA All-Star Weekend as well as other big stories of the week. As usual, join us in the JW Philly Realty chat room right now at blogtalkradio.com/The War Room or join us on Facebook or Twitter at War Room Sports to join in the conversation. Go to our Facebook page in a few minutes because we're going to put the rules to our All-Star Weekend Pick'em contest where you can win $100 cash from War Room Sports. All you got to do is predict the winners of each All-Star Weekend contest that's going to be listed, but you have to call into the show tonight to give your picks. Pick all six winners, and you win the cash. So call us when we open up the Digital Extreme Tech Hotline at 323-410-0012 to give your picks. Before we jump into today's rundown, we'd like to shout out the team. The future of Sports Talk Radio has arrived, so be sure to listen to Roy and Chris on the Broad Street line every Tuesday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time on Blog Talk Radio. Also, catch Mojo and the crew of the Season Ticket on Mondays at 6 p.m. Eastern Time on Blog Talk Radio as well. Finally, check out Brandon and Daniel of Sports Trap Radio on Saturdays at 10 a.m. Eastern Time at ueradiolive.com. But don't worry, if you can't catch them live, you can hear and watch all of our partner shows at worldroomsports.blogspot.com. In addition, don't forget to catch us in syndication three times on Fridays on newvibradio.com at 7 a.m., 1 p.m., and 7 p.m. Eastern Time, and on Sundays and Tuesdays at 3 p.m. Eastern Time on fatsradio.com. But right now, Jimmy's going to give you guys the birthday shout-out.
My birthday! Yay!
What's up, brothers? How y'all doing?
Chilling, chilling.
Yo, man. I'm happier than Cupid sitting at the top of the roof looking at fat people kissing.
Listen, man. I know how you feel, brother. I'm in a good mood, man. I'm just here to excite and throw kick the dice. Yo, but with that being said, man, let's jump right into these birthdays. And for those who don't know about the birthday segment, if it's your first time listening, shame on you. But the birthdays are brought to you by DirecTV. If you like a better TV experience than cable has to offer, go to our website, worldroomsports.com, look for the DirecTV logo, and go get DirecTV. Because not only do you get your premium channels, your HBO, your Showtime, but come football season, because you know we love sports, you get the NFL Sunday Ticket, so you're not set up with that jabroni-looking Red Zone channel. Get the Sunday Ticket. Be a real man. Go to worldsports.com and click on the DirecTV logo. But let's jump into the birthdays. Gentlemen,
he came
the first
at y'all,
birthday.
He came at y'all manhood about that.
Yeah, real talk, man. Only,
he dished y'all straight
I'm
up.
I'm not even going to get into that because I can go another 20 minutes about men who brag about the Red Zone channel, you know. Anyway, let's talk about one Richard, Rip Hamilton, who turns 35. Gentlemen, when I say the name Rip Hamilton,
yay!
When I say the name Rip Hamilton, what comes to mind?
Mid-range J work. Because Richard Hamilton, in my opinion, had one of the best mid-range jumpers that the NBA has ever seen. You know, he's sort of a homeboy, not exactly from Philadelphia, but he's from Coatesville. You know, about 45 minutes outside of the city, so. Shout out to the quasi homeboy Richard Hamilton.
Yeah, shout out to Rip Hamilton. Of course, you have to think about that mask because it's synonymous with Rip Hamilton, and also the way he has the ability to run around screens. It's kind of like second to only possibly Reggie Miller is, because Reggie Miller is the best I've ever seen.
I think that was one of his idols, minus the fact that Richard Hamilton wasn't really a 3-point specialist. But I think he seemed to pattern his game after Reggie Miller a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. You can see the inspiration when you watch him play because he, you know, stole a little of Reggie's game. But you know, it is what it is. Be often.
Besides the fact that I think his face stinks and he has a cinder block head, he has a game that I would tell any youth to sit down and spend time watching game film, practice film, just mastering the fundamentals of basketball inside the three-point line and how to move without the ball, how to set yourself up for effective scoring, nice triple threat. Just an all-around, fundamentally sound basketball player. Made a lot of money in the league as well. Got punked by Michael Jordan in the shooting half-court shots till Mike got his money back. But, you know, good dude from around the way.
Doc Big, what are your thoughts on one Rip Hamilton?
Excellent mid-range game. You know, like you said, from the area, the southeastern Pennsylvania area. I think did Septa go out to Coatesville? He was on that championship team. He was on that championship team that didn't have a discernible superstar with Rip Hamilton and Rasheed Wallace, who's from the crib, and Chauncey Billups.
The one that got Chauncey all overrated.
The one that might get Chauncey Billups into the Hall of Fame with Ben Wallace and Tayshaun Prince. But other than that, one thing I like that he added to his game, you know, he played with the Wizards while Jordan was there, and he said he learned the art of the two dribbles to the right pull-up for a right-handed player. He was saying how Mike taught him that that's the most unguardable move, two dribbles going to the right and shooting, pulling up for the jump shot. Cause
you know, you
got me sitting
here, like, trying it with my hand, like, all right, two dribbles to the right.
I used to go harder with two dribbles to the left, but I never really.
Yeah, that's easier. Yeah, naturally, it's easier to go hard two dribbles to your opposite, with your opposite hand,
right,
and then pull up because
don't get killed started, man.
So yeah, I'm done.
Y'all gonna get killed started. Y'all gonna dissertation on moves.
shout out to Rip Hamilton on his birthday. Yo, the next birthday is my homie. Rest in peace. Stephen Latrell Air McNair. We all know him.
My birthday.
Air,
yay!
McNair.
Man, sad. Anytime his name come up, man, it's just real sad. Dude was born on Valentine's Day, died on the 4th of July in 2009.
Bodied on the 4th of July.
We know the circumstances surrounding his death. And it was like such the opposite of what we came to know Steve McNair as during his life. But
Steve McNair,
it's just unfortunate. He was a tough quarterback.
Hard-nosed football player. But
right,
at the end of the day, like anything else, yams got him in trouble and got him murdered.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so never trust a big button to smile. That's all I got to say.
to the young men that are listening to our program, man, I know you hear us joke about the opposite sex and we love them so dearly, but man, yams and yam farming can definitely get you in trouble. And once you turn to a life of yam farming, I mean, you'll always be an addict. And so Steve Air McNair found that out the hard way, and the consequences and repercussions of yam farming on another plantation when he had his own. Great player.
Your mic was tripping.
Yeah, man. That's just sad, man. Anybody else got anything to say about Air McNair?
Yeah. I'll say, like, the crazy thing is like you guys alluded to, a great football player. But, like, B. Austin pointed out, yam farming and not being under yamage control can, like, just really destroy a man. I mean, it destroyed Samson. It destroyed Solomon. You know, it almost got Clinton kicked out of the presidency. I mean, you know, fellas, you got to control yourselves out there. So
Man, it's one of those things, man. You know, you got to pay attention. It doesn't matter who you are, man. You know what I'm saying? So shout out to him in terms of his football ability. You know,
he would play through gunshots, man. Dude would play through gunshot wounds. He had no problem suiting up.
Yeah, man, and absolutely, man. You know, anybody who watches Scandal knows even President Grant struggles with yam farming. But anyway, man, shout out to him on his birthday, man. Rest in peace, Aaron McNair. Let's go to the next birthday, which is one Drew Bledsoe, who turns 41.
My birthday, yay!
Gentlemen, Drew Bledsoe.
Pretty good quarterback that played for my team last of the Cowboys. I mean, he was like, I think he was supposed to be what Peyton Manning turned out to be, but I don't know, maybe he came at a wrong time. I think with the way the passing game is set up now in the NFL, I think Drew Bledsoe would do better in this era than in the era that he played. That's all.
Anybody else about Drew Bledsoe?
Dev, might as well. You defended him for about a decade.
Yeah, I mean, Drew Bledsoe at one point was one of my favorite quarterbacks in the league. I mean, at a point, he was definitely a stat monster, and, you know, he was good as advertised for a while there. We all know what happened with the injury that led to the emergence and now the legend of Tom Brady. I don't know. Shout out to Drew on his birthday. What could have been?
One thing I got to say about Drew Bledsoe is when I think of Drew Bledsoe, I think of Mo Lewis. And the only reason Mo Lewis has any relevance in football at this point is because that hit that he laid on Drew Bledsoe, which led the way for Tom Brady, was a vicious hit. Like, I can vividly see the hit in my head now. When he got hit, I thought that maybe, you know, he was dead. But
on Drew's birthday, Jimmy gonna talk about how he got knocked out.
Yo, that's what I remember. When I think of Drew Bledsoe, I think of that hit.
And how Tom Brady got a job.
Tom Brady got to the Hall of Fame.
Pretty much. Shout out to Mo Lewis, wherever you are, because that's what it is, man. But
hey, you know what? Hey, I just had an epiphany. Drew Bledsoe should become a quarterback coach. Because check this out. Tom Brady did not – I mean, he was like 6th, 7th round pick. And look what he helped Drew Bledsoe help Tom Brady become the player he is. Not saying that he had – all the hands in it, but look at Brady. And then Romo got a chance to watch Bledsoe for about a year and a half, and Romo came from undrafted to being pretty good. So I don't know if there's
a correlation. Yeah, I mean, I think Drew Bledsoe was like the prototypical quarterback. So, you know, if he was willing, I think he probably could teach it and make some dudes good, even though it seems like all the fans want the league to keep moving away from prototypical quarterbacks, when, you know. But that's a whole different conversation.
Yeah, man, no doubt, man. But, you know, shout out to him on his birthday. And the last birthday is one James Edward Kelly, a.k.a. Jim Kelly, who turns 53.
My birthday, yay!
All I'd like to briefly say about Jim Kelly is if Scott Norwood would have made that field goal, his entire career would have been viewed different if he could have just won one of those damn games. But anyway...
Exactly, because I think Jim Kelly is probably the most underrated great quarterback in NFL history, and I mean making it to 4 Super Bowls. I'm definitely not one to celebrate loserdom, but making it to 4 Super Bowls in a row, like how hard is that feat? They dominated the AFC for a good stretch, but. I keep calling him Drew. Jim Kelly is definitely the greatest loser in NFL history. That's messed up. He was a winner, but he was a loser because he kept losing the big game most of the time through no fault of his own. And that's even worse.
So shout out to moral victories. I think that along with being one of the greatest losers in football history, along with Dan Marino. He's got to be one of the saddest men, because to be that close to winning a Super Bowl has to be excruciating tantalization. So that's what I think about with Jim Kelly. I mean, happy birthday to you, Jim. Sorry you couldn't win the big one, but we think you're a great loser here at the War Room.
Yo, I think like you guys said. It's sad that guys like Terry Bradshaw will be rated ahead of him, probably even Ben Roethlisberger, and many other quarterbacks that have, you know, 1, 2, or 3 Super Bowls. Bradshaw has 4 rings. But, I mean, I think he's better than a lot of guys who are going to be ranked ahead of him just because they may have had better overall teams. I mean, he single-handedly ran the Kate Gunn, which was a no-huddle offense, for four straight years, calling his own plays, making all the checkdowns, reading the defenses, doing everything. And that's sad. Yeah, I think he's definitely a top 10 quarterback, maybe even top 7. Maybe even top 5.
Of all time?
Of all time. Because the fact that he didn't win.
I definitely got him somewhere hovering in my top 10. I'm not sure what the number is. We did that show before. Listen back. I got him somewhere. in the top 10.
Damn. Okay, brother. I'll listen back.
Jim Kelly.
Yeah, definitely do that. Anyway, man. Those are the birthdays for this week, Dan. Tell everybody what happened this past week while they were on the ground.
What happened while y'all were on the ground? Some of our high school alumni were hating on us. Other than that, on the ground, of course, brought to you by Bay Financial Services. You know, it's tax time, so go to our website, warroomsports.com, click on the Bay Financial Services logo, and get your money right. It's tax season. All right, fellas. The 2016 Olympics coming up in Rio, but for 2020, they have omitted the sport of wrestling from the Olympics while keeping a lot of other, you know, trivial sports. Did you guys hear about this? What was your reaction to that?
This was an absolute Trav Sham mockery. The Olympics have their root in history. In Greco, you know, Greco-Roman society, and it's one of the things that has been passed down through the ages as a part of, you know, the advancement of the global society. So to take a foundation sport and remove it from the Olympics, that sucks. I mean, you're essentially taking a piece of.
Been there from the start of the modern Olympics in, like, what, 1896 or something
like that?
It's
one of the only things that tied modern Olympics with the past Olympiads.
Right.
So,
right.
Like, why would you take it away? Like, that's
Yo.
Corny.
Yeah.
For me, I didn't understand it. Now, maybe you guys can enlighten me. Is that just it? Is that just the answer?
Yeah.
But there's other sports in there that I'm like,
that can't make more money than wrestling.
Yo, water polo can't make more money than wrestling, yeah?
Water polo might, but like.
Yo, what about skeet shooting, like, yo? What about skeet shooting, yo?
What about curling? What about curling? I know that's
winning. Curling can't make more money. Yo, it can't. Like, and this is my point. It's kind of what Austin talked about in terms of it, where it stands from a historical standpoint. But also, as a fan of MMA, and I look at some of the best participants in that sport, they are all Olympic wrestlers. Like, this is where these guys get their training from before they become professional. So,
what about that making it a sport? Maybe MMA should become a sport. And one thing I found out is
Brazilians kill everybody.
Show. Yeah, I was listening to a show, and I heard they used to wrestle naked back in the day.
This is not our sport. This is a whole different show right now, good brother.
I heard that back in the Roman times.
That's one of those facts I didn't need to know, though.
Man, like, what are you telling me?
Yo,
that for,
ladies
man?
And gentlemen, he really is a doctor. He doesn't just play one.
But look, man, like you said, it's one of the original sports. I'm pretty sure that money and ratings, it can't be at the bottom of the barrel. I'm thinking with the outcry from, you know, people in the wrestling community, people outside of the wrestling community, fans of the Olympics, I'm thinking that there's a possibility that this may eventually be overturned because they did come out the next day and say, well, the decision isn't final because I think they saw, you know, the reaction.
I mean, think about this, gentlemen. When you talk about high school sports, it's one of the biggest high school sports across the country. And
right.
The reason
and the Olympics is
have,
their pinnacle. Like,
that's exactly my
thing
point.
They can
this
do.
Is what these guys try to fight. That's what I'm saying. It can't because wrestling.
You're gonna see more Greco-Roman wrestlers in MMA now, Jimmy, because there's nothing else for them to do.
It's crazy, man. You know.
But
anyway,
the
man,
funny thing is, everybody's reacting like this, and then if they end up not doing it, you know, we're all gonna watch the Olympics and still not watch wrestling.
No, it doesn't come on anyway. At least, well, my Olympic coverage, all I get is like swimming, track, and gymnastics. That's all that comes on my Olympic coverage.
Right. All right. Well, what else happened? Oh, big stories. while y'all were on the grind this week. I'm pretty sure you heard the news that came down from South Africa, and that is Oscar Pistorius, a.k.a. the Blade Runner, the double amputee who was celebrated throughout London Olympics and the Paralympics. He's charged with murdering his girlfriend. She was shot and killed in his home in South Africa Thursday morning. Her name was Reva Steenkamp, and she was a model. You know, she does, like, reality TV in South Africa and stuff like that. What are your thoughts on this? Like, this guy was celebrated. He was like an international hero. And now this.
Oh, awesome. I knew you had something to say. I was going to let you.
I do.
Go ahead, gentlemen.
I find this interesting on several, you know, several levels. I believe that he has a history of a sort of a checkered past. Assaults. There are some assaults there. There are some domestic calls. And this is something that the media chose kind of not to latch on to. But, you know, they celebrated the story of him overcoming adversity as the first double amputee and Paralympics participant to make the transition to big time track and field. You know, him overcoming that and the stories surrounding him. But in his past, this isn't, you know, the first domestic issue that he's had. This isn't the first charges that he's caught. And so I'm wondering if from a societal standpoint, if these things had kind of been swept to the side, would have been enough emphasis put on it to kind of help this man not reach a point where he's bucking at his girlfriend and murking her. You know, that's kind of my take on it.
Yeah. Well, if you read some of the reports, they said that this isn't the first time that he had domestic incidents. So I'm thinking the whole time where we were putting this guy on a pedestal and making him a hero, I guess the people who started that campaign kind of conveniently left out the fact that he had had a couple of scrapes with his girlfriend.
Yeah, that's pretty much what Austin said. And the thing is, I guess because of his handicap, that's probably part of the reason why you don't talk about the bad but just the good, because it's such an inspiring story. But at the end of the day, it sounds like he was a creep. Another part of the story that I found interesting is that my man had a whole arsenal in the crib because of where he lives. First of all, the mansion was crazy. I didn't know they did it like that. I'm sorry. Anyway, the crime rate is so crazy there, and the home invasions are so crazy that my man basically tooled up. You know what I'm saying?
Real quick, because I definitely want Jimmy's opinion on this. When they caught my man, he said, "I thought she was an intruder."
Yeah, they that's what I'm saying. They tried to play on the crime rate with that excuse.
They tried to help him out.
My question is this, though, man. Yeah. My question is this, though. If my woman come in the crib at 3 a.m., I might squeeze off, too, because why are you coming in the crib at 3 a.m.?
But what type of squeeze off are you referring to? I mean, the squeeze off couldn't – never mind. All
right, bro, I'm not going there.
Did you guys hear that?
You got some explaining to do. That's all I'm saying.
Nike had to pull an ad because they had an ad that referred to him as a bullet in the chamber. So they had to immediately
– Yeah, the crazy part, I saw it, man.
Yeah, they referred to the dude as a bullet in the chamber, man. That's I know Nike was like, oh, come on. It can't get any worse for us right now to have that ad sitting out here, and then this guy, you know, do what he's accused of doing.
But, I mean, I guess more information will come out about this story, but Austin, Bev, you guys made the point that until this happened, I had no idea about his checkered past. and, you know, it's just interesting.
Nobody
man.
Did.
And my bad. I was off typing something, so I just realized that I just came back and said the exact same thing that
It's all good, though, because you know what? That's the most amazing point about this is, you know, is the checkered past, and also the fact that she was coming at 3 a.m. I got a problem with that. But, you know, how they tried to blame it on the crime rate, too. But the mansion is crazy. Y'all see his crib?
The Blade Gunner. That's messed up.
Oh, man. Oh.
So what else? Another tragic story, man. And, you know, this just involves something sports related, but we can, you know, I don't mind talking about this for a couple of minutes. The whole Christopher Dorner situation. Now, we know that one of his victims was Monica, well, two of his victims. One was Monica Kwan and her fiancé. Monica Kwan was actually an assistant basketball coach at Cal State Fullerton, and her fiancé worked like security at USC or something like that. But as a part of his, you know, 9-day rampage and getting revenge for being fired from the LAPD, she was on his list to be murdered because her father defended him in his internal affairs hearings when he was on the force. And I guess he felt like her father didn't defend
him
as well as he possibly could have. What do you guys think about this story in general? I mean, rest in peace to everyone who became a victim his vengeful tactics, but it's crazy, man.
Yo, a quick question. Mm-hmm. I've heard, depending upon what station you watch, I've heard different answers to this. When was he exactly fired?
He was fired in 2008. I believe.
2008,
yeah,
you're correct.
Like, that's crazy. I've heard different numbers, man.
Because you know what the story was? He was a rookie cop. First of all, let's go back before that. This dude was in the Navy. He was a Navy reservist, served overseas for a little while, was honorably discharged. Then he joined the force. He was a rookie cop in 2007, and his partner, it's kind of like the movie Training Day. His partner was doing things, using excessive force on a suspect, kicking this homeless guy, and he actually went back and told on her. It was a whole internal affairs investigation. They came up with the results that he was, you know, giving false statements, and they let him go. So he's been simmering for like the last 2 or 3 years about how he was fired. Now, I've been studying this story, and he's the type of dude, like, in his past, most likely, I think, had he not gone the way he's gone in the past 5 to 9 days, public sentiment may have been on his side, because we all know that the LAPD has a great history of excessive force and violence and things like that and cover-ups. So they actually, after he put the stuff out online that he was going to do this, they actually opened the case back up. With his past being, you know, such a good soldier and a good rookie cop, I think public sentiment would have been on his side, but he decided to go the vengeful route and go on this rampage for the last few days.
Couple things, and I'm glad that you brought that point, and I was actually sitting here in our plush Los Angeles studio just thinking to myself, do I really, really want to touch on that? But since you kicked the lid off of that we might as well go for it. The funny thing about this is while this guy has turned himself into a monster and is viewed as such, and rightfully so, I find it very interesting that the LAPD's response to the media has been, A, there's no validity to what he has said, B, we're an upstanding and citizen-serving police force with no problem. They've just given a ton of politically correct rhetoric in their media statements as if we don't know the history of the LAPD. And because Christopher Joyner has chosen the vengeful, monstrous route that he chose, that there's no validity to any of the claims that he's put out there. So I just think I've found that interesting. And the other thing that he alleges is that while he left active duty, he was still a reservist in the Navy, and he was on their kind of like their shore security team. So like he would be a seaman who secures the dock area or the port area. And so he had a lot of weapons training and sniper training and stuff like that. So what he was saying was when the case was opened within internal affairs, not only did the blue wall, like the police officers, you know, basically shut him off long before he was let go or fired, but he said it spilled over into his Navy career. And as a reservist and a member of the security team, they asked him to leave. So even though he was honorably discharged, it was almost like he was forced out of the Navy as well. So that was his big. He was like, everything kind of shut down on me. And obviously, he chose a very, very wrong route because he ended up.
Your mic is messing up. But I look at dude, and this is just speculation. Like, I look at dude, he probably was the type of dude growing up. He probably was like the Captain America, Justice for All type of dude, wanted to be in the service, wanted to be a police officer. Once he got there, you know, he wanted to do everything the correct way. But you kind of know, you know, just from things that we read and things that happened in the past in certain police departments that the police are all going to stick together. So actually you snitching on another one about something that they did, it's not really going to go over, especially you being a rookie police officer. It's not going to go over well with the rest of the force. So that's a losing battle that you're fighting from the start. But from all accounts, this dude was all about integrity at one point in his life.
Man,
he and a few friends found $8,000 that was supposed to be donated to a church, and they actually turned the money in. Like, that's the kind of dude he was before he got
crazy. I just want to say a couple things, man, before we move on from this topic. I think that there's more to the story, because it always is. I think he knew something, man. I think, first of all, I think he probably knew who killed Pac and Big. That's a side note.
LAPD,
He knew something, man, because first off, they didn't even try to bring him in. They had, like, military-type weapons and all kinds of technology. They killed two people looking for this dude. And they weren't trying to bring him in. It wasn't even about bringing my man in. They was out to murder this dude. Like,
I heard a story, Jimmy. Now, one thing I heard is that somebody brought this up to me. How is it that they say his body was charred, but they found his driver's license? Like, how did his driver's license not burn if his body was charred?
I don't know.
Yeah, this is true.
They're going to come out with some kind of Mamie story that he tossed it out the cabin before he... I don't know, man.
And I love how we switched from sports and got into this topic, man. But it's a very interesting topic.
It's a big topic, man.
And the fact of the matter is, man, there's more to this, man.
It was surreal to just watch this going down live on CNN, like...
yeah. Besides, my man looked like LL Cool J, but yo... It was just crazy in general that they were basically. Did you hear the footage of when they were blowing the house up and they're like, "Yo, burn him down!" Like,
they were throwing the burner. But they were saying that the certain type of tear gas that they were throwing in are commonly referred to as burners. Like, burn that.
They got an answer for everything, yo.
Barbecue Negro. All right, but look, man, y'all can check out our website at warroomsports.com while you're there. Be sure to sign up for the War Report. That's our weekly newsletter. Click on the Contact Us tab to send us a message about the company, our show, or to inquire about sponsorship and advertising opportunities. For general inquiries, email us at info@warroomsports.com. While you're browsing the site, click on the Memorabilia tab to buy War Room Sports merchandise. Click the Blog tab to read our latest sports articles in the All Sphere and Sports and War blog. Then click the respective icons to like our Facebook page, follow us on Twitter, subscribe to our iTunes podcast, download our free War Room Sports mobile app, and to watch our videos at warroomsportstv.com. Join the JW Philly Realty chat room right now during the show at blogtalkradio.com/the War Room to enter the chat room. Just sign up for a free profile on Blog Talk Radio if you don't want to create an account. Sign in through your Facebook or Twitter accounts, and while you're at it, click follow to get updates and reminders about the show. We'll be taking questions and reading posts from Facebook, Twitter, and the chat room during the show. To call in and speak with us, just dial the Digital Extreme Tech hotline at 323-410-0012. Press 1 when prompted. If you're already listening from your phone, just press 1 if you want to talk. All right, let's get in some hot topics real quick, some more hot topics. Hot Topics, of course, is brought to you by Audible. Is your schedule too hectic to read as much as you want? Well, try audiobooks and kick back and let someone else do the reading for you. All you got to do is visit Audible and sign up for your free trial at audibletrial.com/warroomsports. In no time, you can be listening to the latest bestsellers hands-free, stress-free, while getting other things done at the same time. And in other news, pitchers and catchers have all reported, not surprisingly after last year, but it just sounds weird that the Nationals, the Washington Nationals, are the favorites to come out of the NL this year. But we all know how sports go, you know. It doesn't always mean that you're going to be great because you did pretty well the year before, but they do have all the tools to try to make another run. Speaking of the Nationals, pitcher Gio Gonzalez denying those PED allegations that we spoke about last week, but, you know, he's saying that his father attended that clinic for weight loss, and that's how his name got put into the mix. I don't really understand that, but that's what he said. Anybody got anything on that before we move on?
His story has holes.
Yeah, I mean his story definitely has holes.
It's funny because it's like his story may have holes, but it's at the point now where I can see that actually happening because it's like we live in a gotcha type of media where everything's about, oh, gotcha, caught you were lying. So if they see anything related to anybody, they will try to make a story where there is none. Not saying this is the case, but, you know, I could see that happen now because the whole thing with everything is to try to catch somebody lying or doing something wrong.
Right. I'm like, how do they get your name? Like, did your dad just walk in somewhere and use your name just because you're a baseball player? Yeah,
or he probably paid with his credit. He could have paid. You know what I'm saying?
Speaking of
paid, yo. Go ahead, Dan. Go ahead. You got it. No, because I was just reading something. Something that someone just sent me that came across, and you know. But I'll let you finish this before I, you know, bring it up.
I don't know. I mean, I'm done with Gio. Like his story, you know, because there's more to it than we're saying, but we're not really gonna get into it.
I know that this was in reference to baseball. Is it true? Someone just sent me to tell me how true it is. You know, people lie on the internet about Kelly Hernandez's contract.
Yeah,
I
7 years, 175.
Yeah,
was 7 years, 175.
That's the number you heard.
Yep.
Yeah, someone just said that to me.
They said they were going to make sure they made him the highest paid pitcher ever.
He signed it 2 days ago. He broke down at the news conference. He was speaking bad English.
I saw the news conference, but I didn't see the number. And now that I'm seeing this number, it just made me like, you know, jump into what you were saying. I apologize for that, but. $175 million.
Now you know why you broke down.
Yeah.
I'm about to break down crying at any of my money.
Yeah, they gave him that. They gave him that guapino.
Yeah, he got paid.
Sheesh! Damn.
All right.
Wow.
So
anyway.
The paternal family. They did an investigation, you know, where they had an investigation done basically to rebut the allegations from the free report that came out. And because, you know, the NCAA punishment levied against Penn State was basically the NCAA didn't do their own investigation. They basically just read the free report and then handed down these unprecedented punishments to the university. The report done by the people hired by the paternal family basically says that a lot of things in the free report, they basically called it a failure, said it was loaded with errors, personal opinions, and disputed allegations and biases. Did you guys hear about any of this?
Yes.
Are you still even following the story? I know Austin's still following the story because, you know, he's a paternal fan, so anything to clear old Joe's name.
I'm down with the family. I actually saw Jay kind of speak on this, and there are a lot of inconsistencies in the free report in the sense that it's not a true forensic analysis of evidence, and there's a lot of speculative information that was added and used as a law, essentially, to make decisions. And so I kind of, you know, I have a problem with that.
The problem I have, you know, because I don't know what report has the greatest information. I mean, because we know the free report, they were hired by the university trustees, and Free was actually paid $6.5 million to do this investigation. They said his team interviewed more than 430 people and reviewed more than 3 million documents to prepare their 267-page report. Now, if the paternal family is going to pay for a report, we already know that, you know, of course, that report is to basically try to clear Joe's name. So how much can we actually trust that report if we already know that there's an agenda going
into
the whole thing?
There's a bias.
But I'm not saying that what they're saying is wrong. But my whole beef with the situation was that the NCAA never even did an investigation. They just hopped on the coattails of what Penn State, you know, did on their own read the free report and then handed down, you know, all kinds of sanctions against the school based on this report that they didn't even, you know, the investigation that they didn't even have done themselves. I think this is just another, you know, instance of the NCAA dropping the ball on something. I mean, who knows? They get their own investigation done. Maybe they levy the same punishment, but it gives you more credibility in the long run. And we know they're losing that by the minute. So it's a weird situation. Weird situation.
I have nothing at all to say about it, y'all.
Phil Knight kind of changed. Phil Knight has always been a big Joe Paterno dude, but after the free, you know, Phil Knight from Nike, and after the free report came out, he kind of changed his tune about Joe Paterno, and he was kind of hurt and upset that his hero would withhold this information and this and that. After reading the second report, he went back and basically retracted that statement, and, you know, he's back in the Paterno camp, and he, like a lot of people, are kind of upset with the NCAA for not doing their due diligence before they put all this stuff out there and levied all of these penalties against the university. So, I mean, we'll see how that plays out. I mean, Joe Paterno at this point is dead. The court of public opinion, whatever you think of him or whatever you thought of him in the last few months, is probably what you're going to think of him for the rest of your life. So I don't even know what all of this is going to accomplish in the long run, but.
One of the things that was interesting, did you guys know that he and Joe Paterno weren't, when I say he, I mean Sandusky and Joe Paterno weren't really cool, like they weren't on good terms. And I'm not talking about recently, I'm talking about going back to the early 90s, mid 90s, like they weren't cool.
Right. I mean, from what I heard, he okayed Sandusky using the premises, but did say, you know, that they couldn't use the facilities for minors coming on to the campus or whatever. Now,
right.
people were kind of skeptical, like, well, did you say that, you know, just because it's a liability thing for the university, or did you say that because you knew back in 1998 this guy, you know, had been accused
of
doing
something? Well, no, the explanation was perfectly, like, legit to me and made sense. I can't have kids. It had nothing to do with the BBR. I can't have kids running around a college weight room or college facilities. They get injured, and then we're liable for it. It didn't even really have anything to do with Sandusky. It was like, yo, you're bringing kids in the major weight room, major training facilities. We've got people preparing for the draft. We can't have you over here. And the office situation with Sandusky being on campus was worked out with the provost office. That had nothing to do with the athletic department or Penn State football.
No. Sounds to me like
D.
Austin is a Joe Paterno apologist.
I have a question.
No, I just like facts, man. I like facts to be out there.
Hey, fellas, I have a question. Why do you think the Penn State coach stayed after he had offers from the NFL?
Maybe he's a man of his word. I don't know.
Maybe the offers weren't what he wanted. What I mean? Just because you get offers doesn't mean they're good offers.
But it also might be one of those things where he's like, you know, I took the job when the university was at its lowest point. You know what I'm saying? I talked all of this about being here and seeing this through and all that. So maybe he's just a dude, like you said, maybe he's just a dude that wants to keep his word. You know, a lot of other people, they'll talk a big game, and as soon as that offer comes, like, they're out. But, you know. I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt. Maybe he does want to see it through because he will be held in higher esteem if he turns this thing around after all of these sanctions are done. But then you might not, and then you might not ever get another offer. So he's gambling, but see if he's a good poker player. Moving on, speaking of the NFL, Mike Vick, he restructured his contract to stay in Philly on a one-year deal with incentives that could take his earnings up to $10 million. Coach Chip Kelly still says that it's a competition between he and Nick Foles, and they just signed today Dennis Dixon, former Oregon quarterback who played under Chip Kelly at that university. What do you guys think about Mike Vick staying? Is it a surprise to you, first of all? Because I'm really surprised that they
don't make
that,
me kill you, dog, Mike Vick. Yo, I think that it's not really a surprise. It's funny because I was listening to the Broad Street Line. Shout out to them. And they've been talking a couple of weeks about how it was a strong possibility that he would stay, or at least Rory was, how he would stay with the franchise considering what's out there in this, just this capacity, just like a one-year plan, sort of like a bridge to whatever they do in the future, whether that's, you know, stick with the other guy or maybe they draft someone anyway. So, you know.
See, but Jim, that's the problem I keep having because people keep making that justification. Well, what else is out there? But I'm like, okay, but what is he? Like, he's not good. Like he's not good in my opinion. So,
if you understand, like a coaches, most of these coaches think they're smarter than they really are, and they come in with this thing. Well, he didn't look good under him, but with his skill set, I could change him. Like, you know, Mike Vick is a coach killer. So, you know, it is what it is. But all I'm saying is, a lot of these coaches, I'm telling you, believe they're smarter than what they are. Yeah, you know
the
I mean,
coaches are dogs. Which is a dog, you know?
No pun intended.
Look, I really just don't understand it. I mean, I knew, like, they had a loophole to get out of paying on that $3 million. So, I mean, I guess after that day when he wasn't cut, you know, they explained to you the loophole and why he wasn't actually cut. So you still think it's a chance. Like, okay, they're going to cut him, but it's just not. There's no rush to do it because they're not on the hook for that $3 million. But like Jimmy said, the more, you know, people found out, you know, the more they talked about it, there was an idea out there that there was a big chance that he would stay because Chip Kelly wants to run the system where he wants a really mobile quarterback, supposedly. I don't know because I don't know that – you levy your future, even though it's a one-year deal, but this is still another year for somebody who has gotten several chances. And this has nothing to, like, I like Mike Vick as a person. This has nothing to do with his past personally. I just have never thought that Mike Vick was a good NFL quarterback. I mean, he averages a little over 2,000 yards per year in 10 NFL, you know, years. I don't understand what the big deal about Mike Vick is because there are a lot of fans who are ecstatic that he's coming back.
Yo, Mike Vick fans like latch on to like two games. He beat the Packers in that game on Monday night. Like, yo, my man has a 10-year career, and they literally latch on to like two football games.
He has two playoff wins, and they're counting that Green Bay win. He has two playoff wins. They both came in the same playoffs. And he threw for a combined 199 yards in those two playoff games.
Listen, I'm telling you, that game.
Other than
that
what has
Monday
he done?
That Monday night game where he went eight feces. They hang on to that game. But my thing is, my man played 10 years. Why do you keep coming to me with two games? See what he can do if he's hot.
Yeah,
yo,
yeah.
My man played a decade, though, B. Why are you bringing
Let
up one
me,
game?
You see hey, Jeff, what he
that,
can do
that,
when Jeff. He's hot. When he is hot, you see what he can do. Yo, we brought this back.
Shout out to Ezra, Idiot Sports Talk in our chat room. You know, he said Dev is speaking the truth, you know, about Ron.
Now,
Mexico.
Eagle fans, I have a question. Would you prefer to have Nick Foles running Chip Kelly's offense or Michael Vick, even given the flaws of Michael Vick?
That's a great question. That's a great question, Akil. So, let me say that, first of all,
Chip Kelly was
a bad hire. I prefer that Chip Kelly not be here in the first place and be back at Oregon. But now we've got this, you know, the NFL is a copycat league, as Jimmy likes to say, which is certainly the truth. So we're going to see the next gimmick is in line. The gimmick of the read option with the running back athlete at masquerading as a quarterback. As far as Michael Vick, Dev, 2,027 yards per season. That's what he averages passing. He's a 58% completions percentage. He's a 80% passer rating. He is not good. He is not good. Now he's 32 years old. He's been beat up throughout his career. He's going to get a fresh start as an option quarterback in the NFL. How does that sound? How's that going to work?
I mean, and then I think, you know, if we're thinking this is the offense that he's going to be in,
you're putting somebody who's often injured in more danger. Now you're putting them out there to be hurt again. Like I don't understand it, man. Chip
you know,
Kelly came out
a
week and a half ago talking about he want a quarterback that's going to get the ball out in 1.5 seconds. We know that's not Mike Vick. So I
never.
Know.
There's never.
I think
this is how the meeting
what
went.
You said.
This,
coaches think this, they're smarter than they are, Jim.
This is how the meeting went. This is how the meeting went. He brought Michael Vick in. He sat Michael Vick down. He said, "Hey, listen here, son. I know what you heard in the media, son. We're going to throw that playbook out. We're going to throw that reading out. You're not going to have to read no books here, son. I just want you to play a little pitch and catch. I want you to do a little running because you sure can run. And you can jump and you can hop and you're strong. We're just going to play a little pitch and catch and run. And when they snap the ball, I just want you to run left. Or if you see them over there on the left, you just run right. And get it done. And then once in a while, we're going to throw it down the field." And that's how the conversation went. Exactly. And that was Mike's response right there. That was his response. He got excited.
You know who I feel bad for? I feel bad for Pat White, you know, the quarterback from West Virginia, because he seems perfect to be able to run these offenses. But after 1 year in Miami, I mean, he went to go, like, try baseball or something. But I look at RG3, and obviously – he's more accurate than Pat White, but I think Pat White is just as accurate as Michael Vick, in my opinion. So I think he should be able to get a second or third chance in the league.
Hey, all right, okay, real quick, we're gonna go to the Digital Extreme Tech Hotline real quick. We got our man Tobias in Phoenix holding on the line. Tobias, what's going on, bro?
Hey, what's going on? I haven't talked to you guys since before Alabama won a national championship.
Yeah, it's been a while. Roll Tide.
Hey, man, I had to call you guys. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Yeah, I'm sad. I'm calling. You know, I'm also a big Chicago Bulls fan.
Okay.
And I hear all the scuttlebutt but now talking about should Derrick Rose sit out. And my thing is, I think he should. If he's not feeling 100%, you know, shut it down. And I'm a fan, but I'm a realist. His team ain't winning the championship, he was there anyway. Just be honest.
You know what? That's actually interesting that you called in to talk about that, because that was actually like one of the next topics on our list. So you just segued us. We can talk about that right now. Derrick Rose, yeah, he came out basically saying that he's prepared to sit out the season. I got some of his quotes right here. They asked him when he returned to the floor. He said, I really don't know. I'm feeling good, but like I said, if it's where it's taken me a long time and I'm still not feeling right, then I don't mind missing this year. He was talking about how he would love to get back on the court, but he feels that he's still far away from returning and doesn't want to return until he's 110%. Mm-hmm. I applaud him for that, because we're in a time where, you know, there's so much pressure for these guys to get back onto the court or the field or whatever. And, you know, that's how you get re-injured, or your injury just never heals the way that it's supposed to heal because everybody's in a rush to get back. So I kind of applaud him for not, you know, kneeling to the pressure and actually saying, like, you know, I'm not coming back until I feel that I'm 100%. And, you know, good for him, in my opinion.
Yeah. You know, and also I thought about this. Ask Grant Hill and ask Penny Hardaway about coming back from injuries. They would have made the Hall of Fame for his talent if they didn't try to come back early from those injuries.
True.
And I also say this. He needs Derrick Rose need to go to the front office and say, hey, you need to get me another star here, not a bunch of role players. Yeah, Lou Alding and Joe Kim Noah made an All-Star game. Antonio Davis made an All-Star game before. made an All-Star game. It's not really
and Jamal McGlure.
That's their fault. It was supposed to be Boozer. That's their fault. They signed Boozer.
Yeah, they did go out on a.
But you know what?
Yeah.
Boozer was putting up crazy numbers when he played with Darren Williams. But you know,
yeah. I don't think that it's in Derrick Rose's character to even do that. Like, I don't even think he's the dude who cries about, you know, who he's playing with and what he needs. And I think he just goes out and does what he has to do. I mean, think about when LeBron and Chris Bosh and Dwayne Wade decided to team up in Miami. Derrick Rose kind of scoffed at that whole notion. You know, like,
yeah.
I wouldn't do that.
He's a throwback. He's old.
Yeah,
school.
So I don't even know if it's in him to do that. I think he would basically just play with the hand that he's dealt. But I think that the organization knows
that they need to get him a little bit more help when he comes back. So I don't really think he even needs to go in and make those demands and change people's perception.
But if we being honest, unless LeBron gets shot, don't matter who he gets in the team. Yo, because right now LeBron is playing out of this world basketball, so it kind of doesn't matter who Derrick Rose goes and gets.
This is a problem I have. I don't think we'll stay in Miami long term because Dwayne Wade, he's going to break down early than people think. And I still say, if you talk LeBron, the key to Miami has always been Chris Bosh. If he goes
on, I agree. Great point. It's funny
Go ahead.
It's funny because, like, talking to people all the time, I always tell them that if Wade wasn't on the team, it was just LeBron and Bosh, they'd probably be a better team with those two players. You know, but at the end of the day, the way that guy's playing right now, I don't care who Derrick Rose goes and gets.
That's true, man. But I say this before I go, man. I hear the Colin Cowherd's world talking about he's a shoot first point guard and all this. The question, he say he's not going to win a championship. Here's the thing. Find me more than two guards that want to flip in the NBA right now, besides Kobe and D-Wade. Who's the two guards that want to flip now? You know, you don't see that many great two guards anymore. Or even great guards or a great big man.
James Harden's pretty good. Paul
I
forgot about Harden.
There's some young ones out there. I actually think the position was overrated back in the day.
I still disagree. I mean,
just
think about it. Isaiah Thomas
Clay
was a
Thompson.
Shoot first point guard.
Yeah.
And he still won a championship. And you know what I get tired of, just in general, this is a side note, but since you brought it up, I just want to say this real fast. I get tired of people tripping over these positions. Positions were only put in place for idiots that didn't understand the game. I mean, it doesn't matter. Like, you put your five best out there and play ball. When it comes to the play, when it comes to playoff start, positions don't even matter anymore. You know what I mean? Like, you put your best guys out there and go for it. This whole notion of he can't be a point guard that does this. FOH.
That's all I got, man. Thanks for taking my call, guys. You guys take it easy.
All right.
Foghorn, Leghorn, everybody.
You know, like I said, I'm glad Derrick Rose is going to take his time. I mean, because speaking of that, you know, they brought out reports today saying that with his progress, the progress of his recovery, Robert Griffin III might be, you know, he might actually start the season for Washington next year. I mean, first, when I heard that, I was just, like, shaking my head. I'm like, they are, like, such in a rush. You gave up so much to get this guy. I mean, if he's 100% at that time, then fine. There's nothing that we can say. But at this point, like, why even announce that, you know? Because now the pressure's on for, you know, you get your fans all excited. Now the pressure's on to get this guy ready. And because you made the announcement, he might feel a little bit more pressure. He might go out there not 100%. Because, you know, RG3, he's not going to tell them if he's not because he's just built that way. So I just see a dangerous situation possibly in Washington. So that's why
reflective.
I'm kind of praising Derrick Rose for making sure he doesn't let the powers that be force him into a bad life decision. You know what I mean?
The RG3 situation is just a microcosm of the front office and the managerial, I guess, perspective in the way they operate. I mean, they are a part of this culture of immediacy. That's what, you know, Daniel Snyder is about. That's what his front office folks are about. You know, they want to make a splash. They're thirsty to make a splash. They like media. They like, you know, they're not on the level of a Rex Ryan or anything like that, but they're going to say stuff and they're going to put that pressure out there. And so they're so happy to have RG3 in town. Any RG3 news is news.
All right, well, speaking of ACLs, man, the Celtics lost another guard, Leandro Barbosa, to an ACL tear. They were 7-0 without Rondo until this happened. He got hurt in the game that they lost, surprisingly, against the Bobcats. What's next for the Celtics? I mean, I know the trade deadline is coming up, and every player that goes down puts more pressure on this team to make deals at trade time. They're down to, like, you know, Avery Bradley and Jason Terry. What's next for the Celtics, fellas? Can they keep winning?
They need to sign Gilbert Arenas. He's available.
Yeah, no, he's out there. He's only like 31.
Yo,
he's like 31.
This Gilbert talk, man. Yo, Gilbert is done, man. Let him. Yo, his career is dead, man. Y'all been trying to bring Gilbert back anytime anybody can see it, man.
Jimmy, you said you should let Gil rest in peace.
Yo, let Gil rest in peace. But yo, my thing with Barbosa, man, that's what you get for not coming to LA and going to Boston instead, you chump. But the Celtics,
yo, he's
man,
not good. He's not good though.
Who, Barbosa?
Yeah, he's not good.
I'm not saying he's a star player, but
he's
a very solid NBA player. He's definitely a solid player. You're bugging right now, yo.
His skill set is awkward, and he looks stupid on the
court. Yeah, but
he's very
productive.
Yeah, he's productive.
And he would have been a hell of a player off the pond for L.A., but that's another story. But I don't know. The Celtics are just mentally tough. I don't know how much more they can withstand. They seem to lose somebody every week due to injury, but they compete at a high level. So, I mean, next man up.
Next man up it is. Next man up it is. Still in the NBA. This story is kind of funny to me because, you know, when we broke the news and a lot of people was asking, like, well, it really didn't seem like it worked. Hedo Turkoglu has been suspended for 20 games for testing positive for methylphenidate, which is an anabolic steroid. He hasn't said anything. He's basically copped to it, but in copping to it, he still kind of threw out something that could be construed as an excuse, because they're saying he took full responsibility, but he says, quote, as a player, this is the worst situation that you want to be in. I'm just sorry to put the organization in a situation. I should have double-checked and researched and shouldn't be in this situation. He's saying he should have double-checked because he supposedly took a medication from a trainer in Turkey this past summer to help him recover from a shoulder injury. And he claims that he mistakenly neglected to check against the NBA's list of banned substances. So, I mean, at this point, as many of these stories come out in sports, I kind of find it hard to believe that there's still people out there who actually let a trainer put something into their bodies without checking the banned list. So,
it depends on the culture of the sport, though, too, Def. Definitely depends on the culture of the sport. I don't know how thoroughly they check for PEDs in the NBA. And you know, furthermore, my man Hedo is averaging 2, 2, 2, and 2. He's averaging 2.9, 2.2.
Yo, when they made that run and they went to the finals,
Hedo
was balling.
Yeah,
whatever he was on back then, he needed to go back to that.
2 points, 2 assists, 2 rebounds. 2 turnovers.
Yo, man, that's 22 twos, man.
Too much West Coast.
Yeah. All right, hey, real quick, man. We're going to go back.
Yo,
to
you know
digital.
What's crazy?
Let's finish up with Hedo, and then we're going to go to the
You know what? You noticed that Hedo and Rashard Lewis played together, and Rashard Lewis got popped for steroids, too. So maybe, I don't know. Somebody
didn't go to
Orlando.
He's trying to say, host him up. With his connect.
But Rashard Lewis is only putting up like 12 points.
In our, he's like 2, 2, 2, and 2 now. He's a bum. He was getting all that money in Washington and was giving the Wizards nada.
Yo,
he was the second highest paid player in the league last year, and he was averaging like 4 points a game.
Yo,
if I was a Wizards fan, man.
Yo, he made more than LeBron, Wade, and Bosh.
Why don't they treat your man that way? Why do they treat Juwan Howard so bad for his contract and they let your man Rashard slide? Rashard made like $23 million last year.
There was hope when Juwan was around. Like Rashard was around, there wasn't enough fans in the arena to boo his ass. But he stinks. But let's go to the extreme. Speaking of the Wizards and the DMV, we got the homie Varee on the line. What's going on, Varee?
Hey, what's up, fellas?
What's up?
I know you heard
B. Austin talking about your
chilling,
skin. I know you had to call in and get him.
I know, man. Appreciate y'all getting me on the air, taking my call. Yeah, but as far as the RG3 thing, I don't think that's really any news for us to really feed into because it's just way too early. As a fan, I mean, it's good to hear that, you know, he's making progress. But, you know, it's just too early. I would hope that the organization you know, isn't rushing him or, you know, trying to give the indication that they're trying to rush him back to get him on the field.
Do you trust Daniel Snyder?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not.
Right.
But again, I'm just saying, I don't think this is news for us to really, you know, I don't even think this should be a big topic right now.
Right.
Because it's just way too early to make any determinations on his status. But if they're saying he's coming along well as a fan, hey, I'll take it.
I actually agree with Vareev because I actually, today when having conversations, one of my biggest things was I don't even know why Washington, like the organization, even reported this. I'm like, you know, keep that out of the
right.
Because, like I said, I think it will bring unnecessary pressure to him now. Like all the reports are out there now. Now I gotta, you know, work a little harder, a little faster to get back. I don't know. That man don't need any
and
more
notice
pressure.
they gave it to Adam Schefter. So you know, I guess they really wanted it out there.
Yeah, but I don't think it was necessary.
It's just
exactly.
way too early.
When those guys get the report, you know, they didn't steal it from somewhere. You get Adam Schefter and those type of guys on the line, and you tell them what you want them to know.
Right.
What you want
right.
them to put out there.
Right.
I mean, it could be a money thing, you know. Maybe they figure if we're saying that he's going to start the season. I mean, I've never known the Redskins organization to have any problem with ticket sales, though. But, you know,
right.
it may be a thing where I'm like, look, if they think he's going to start the season, then maybe we'll get money for those early games instead of people waiting
right,
to
right.
come when he comes back. So I don't know what it is.
Yeah. And then TV money with the primetime games and stuff.
Right.
So
I don't know if you did you see how we having a little contest tonight, man? But we announced it once. We didn't announce it the second time yet. But if you go check the Facebook page, the rules and stuff are on there. So if you wanna do that and get a list together and call back.
It's not the newsletter? Because I did sign up for the newsletter.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's the same thing that was in the newsletter. So if you pick the winners or the MVPs in the six contests on All-Star Weekend, you just $100, cold cash. That's a Redskin ticket right
now. Hey, I can use that.
All right, so go check it out. Check out who's in the contest and make your list. And if you want to call back and give your picks, then, you know what I mean, we'll get you back on the air.
Yo,
sounds
shout
good,
out
man.
To the homie Vareev, Sean right, Taylor, rest in peace.
No doubt. All right, man.
Hey, thank you, guys.
All right.
The Austin's crazy. That's an inside joke because we're in a little sports forum with Vareev, and they had a discussion in there about who's better between Sean Taylor and
Ed Reed.
But it's an overwhelmingly Washington-based
forum. So there was like nobody.
Forum.
Ed Reed. Everybody.
Ed Reed was
Sean Taylor.
On in this junk.
Sean Taylor is by far and away in the 2.5 seasons that he played far superior to Ed Reed in the 6.
No, nobody said that, yo. No, I don't believe
Shit.
It. I don't even know.
No.
I told
B. Austin, like, I can't even get into this conversation. Ask him. I went in there and all I said was this. That's all I said.
Yeah, like come on, man. Like,
that's all it is.
That's
some Homer Simpson
on,
type stuff.
I mean, that's ridiculous, man. Like, Ed Reed.
Yo,
like,
Ed Reed,
Sean Taylor's better
in
than
my
Reed.
Opinion, will go down in history as one of the top three greatest safeties of all time. And they were saying
I don't know
Sean
about that,
Taylor.
But I mean, still, like, Sean Taylor played two seasons, B. That's like somebody telling me that Joe Budden better than
Rakim. My thing was there were actually people in there saying, "What? This ain't even close." Sean Taylor. Like, I couldn't get in it, man, because I didn't want to get in it and then have somebody like disrespect. Yeah, it's crazy.
They said, and
I mean, but the thing is, Jimmy, he won a bowl
bigger and hit so much harder.
He won a bowl on his down, on his decline.
Yo,
like,
my man
his
said
best
he's
not years,
even close. Even,
yeah, so I,
yo,
I'm
those
not,
are all,
I can't
those are all. Those are all Mike Vick fans. That's all I got to say. whoever says that it's not even close, they have the IQ of a 2 Chainz fan. That's all I'm saying. Yo,
Be awesome.
Real
wanna,
quick, though.
Yeah, let them
know. Everybody just touching his fat.
Oh, man. Check out the website. WarRoomSports.com to call in and speak with us about any of today's topics. Dial the Digital Extreme Technologies hotline at 323-410-0012. Press 1 when prompted. If you're already listening from your phone, just press 1 if you want to talk.
Yeah,
booyah!
It's time to get into some NBA rap, which is brought to you, by the way, by Stitcher Smart Radio. You can now hear our show at the War Room on Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher allows you to listen to your favorite shows directly from your computer, your iPhone, Android phone. And if you happen to have a BlackBerry or Palm phone, please upgrade. But if you want to keep it, listen to the War Room. The latest episode is always available for you. No syncing needed and no memory or storage wasted. You can click the Stitcher logo on our website, which is warroomsports.com, or go right to stitcher.com/thewarroom, which is one word. Enter the coupon code thewarroom because you have a chance to win a lot of money. With that being said, first topic I want to talk about in reference to the National Basketball Association, the great game invented by Dr. Naismith, are the NBA players of the week, which this past week were Russell Westbrook and LeBron Ramon James. Yeah, give me the numbers of each player.
All right. Russell Westbrook guided the Thunder to an undefeated 4-0 week. They beat the Mavericks, the Warriors, and the Suns twice. He averaged 21.8 points, 6 assists, 3.3 steals, and 3 rebounds per game. Oklahoma City won each game by 20 points or more, so they just went through the week destroying people. The Heat went 4-0 as well. They didn't win their games by 20 or more, but LeBron is on a little tear himself where he's destroying people. He led them to, of course, an undefeated week. He had wins over the Rockets, the Clippers, and the Lakers. You know, so that's a nice little resume. He averaged 31.3 points on 74% shooting from the field. And the funny thing about that, that's not even first in the league. So it must be somebody who just dunks every time they get the ball. He was second in the league in field goal percentage last week.
Probably Joel
shooting 74%. And he added 6.5 rebounds and 5.8 assists.
How many games?
All I got to say is congratulations to Russell Westbrook. Now, let's talk about Ramon. Ramon is strong right now.
Six games.
It's beyond like him even being the best player in the league. Like, he is strong right now. A lot of his shots are threes and mid-range jump shots. Now, he is going to the hole with reckless abandon. Pause that. And he is posting up a lot more than he used to in something we talked about years previous.
Pause it for what?
So he's
going to the hole with reckless abandon?
So he's drawing right now, yo. He's definitely drawing, yo. And it's funny.
Completely
it's
manly
funny
for
because,
that.
It's funny because they keep trying to compare him to MJ, which you saw him respond the other day like, I'm not MJ, I'm LJ. But did you guys
hear about? You know, yeah. I thought, you know what, because.
What do you want
to
be Larry Johnson for? Why
do
you want to be Larry Johnson?
I was listening to Mike and Mike when that tweet first came down, and of course, Greeny is like the master of the tease. So they went to commercial. We'll be back. I'll tell you what LeBron tweeted about this. And he came back, and that was it. I was kind of disappointed. Like, I expected it to be something where he kind of shunned the attention away from himself. Like, you know, I haven't done anything to be Michael Jordan. But he really didn't do that. I mean, saying what he said doesn't mean that he doesn't think he's better than Mike. He's just saying, I'm LJ. I'm not MJ.
And I love it because I think that he's going to dig himself another hole based on character because people in our society, basically with this six-game stretch of wizardry and godlike basketball playing, people are already saying, could he be better than Mike? Could he be better than Mike? But what's going to happen is he's going to get into a playoff situation and a clutch situation, and what's going to happen? I'm not saying he's putting that up or choke up.
I feel you there because that's
but
actually
we build people up today to tear them down.
I mean,
I kind of see what you're saying because he – my bad, Kill. I was just going to say that, you know, even though he had that run last year, I still think he has a little bit to prove once you know, the bigger games come. But how can you – I mean, how can you turn off what you're doing now? Like, if it's this easy for you, just go into every game with the same mind state. And you should be successful. Well, go ahead, Kill, my bad.
Yeah, no, I was going to say, it seems like I was wondering, like, I'm wondering if he's peaking too early. Like, it would be great if he was playing like this during the playoffs, but I feel like he's playing so great now that the rest of the Heat players are going to be used to that level of play. So when the playoffs come and he comes back down to earth, that may be a detriment to their team.
Basically, it's on those guys to not.
No, I look at this completely different than you guys. I look at it like he hasn't even peaked yet. Because when you watch the game, it's like he's playing out of his mind, but I still don't think he's going to. I don't even think he's peaked yet. I think that getting away from the winning that Larry O'Brien trophy and raising it above your head and being the MVP and all those things, I think that he's just playing his game now, and I don't even think he's peaked yet. And I think it's scary to see what he can do if he's able to keep Bosh by his side. Who cares about Reed?
His weight is actually
contributing. But in terms of
you keep saying
him,
stuff like that, but they, you know, those three aren't together. They're not winning the championship.
I mean,
because if Wade's not
honestly,
there, you still
honestly,
have to replace him with a couple of good players.
No.
It's not like
honestly,
just let Wade go and then they'll be better.
No. But put it like this, I think if you remove Wade from that team and I guess Ray Allen moves in the starting position and you get a quality backup, I think they still could compete for a title. But that's all speculation.
Oh, yeah.
What I'm saying is this. The way this guy is playing, I don't think he's peaked yet. But the MJ comparisons are crazy. I mean, I don't like to get into the comparisons based upon. First of all, I don't even like comparing Kobe to MJ, let alone LeBron to MJ. I hate comparing current players to players that are retired. Let them finish, accumulating whatever it is they'll accumulate, and let's compare them at that point. But, it is ridiculous to compare him to Mike. But at the end of the day, this guy is playing the way he's playing, and that's all they can do at this point is he better than Mike? You know what I mean? Like, he's playing out of his mind.
But, Jimmy, are you talking about peak as a player? Because I think Akil means maybe more like peak for this season. Because you can say what you want. It ain't going to get no better than the streak that he's on now.
In terms of field goal percentage, I think his field goal percentage may drop. But I still see parts of his game that he can improve. But you also see that he's put the work in to improve on his game.
Yeah, and that's the thing about LeBron. Like, when he stopped listening to everybody who was telling him he was already the greatest thing since sliced bread, he finally put the work in to improve in those areas that people who were giving constructive criticisms that were called haters before, he's finally listening to that stuff, and look how great this dude is becoming. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and I think that, but I think even beyond that, like when you listen to him in interviews and things like that, I think that what happened to him with the whole decision and everything, like, it's kind of like he got past that, and I don't think he'll make those kind of decisions like off the court, but I think it's going to help him on the court. He has all the pressure off of him now. Like, even the people that hated him for what he did with Cleveland, like, his bandwagon is very strong now.
Yeah, they've quieted down. They've definitely quieted down.
But what can you say? I mean, the guy's playing out of his mind.
Ask DJ Willie G. He can still say something.
It's funny because I've been trying to get him to speak on this, but he like refuses to speak on it because he's the biggest LeBron detractor in the world. But at the end of the day, man, like in my personal opinion, we had the video. I thought he was the best player in the league at that point. Right now, he's just like going on a crazy run, and it's funny that
when we had the video. I think he was the best player in the league. I gave him the title around the time, like I had just given him the title when he nutted up against Dallas. That's when I thought he was the best.
He
quickly went out and proved me wrong. But coming into that next season, I still left him. You know what I mean?
He's been the best player in the league for a while.
I think he's been since the beginning of last season at the league.
But I was just saying, I don't even think that's a question at this point. But some people still are questioning that. It's funny because they asked Michael Jordan.
It's not a question for me as of this season because the whole –
I mean, we can't speak for everybody else, but
– Well, we can't. But now you're starting to see a player where you ask, well, what are the holes in his game? And he's so talented and he's playing at such a high level combined with the fact that – he seems to be really working on every facet of the game. Yes. Yo, dudes, he's...
I mean, because I still think there are holes in his post game. But with his size, really all LeBron had to do was get down there. They can't guard you even if your post game's not refined.
Well, he's robotic.
They can't guard you if you put a concentrated effort to go down there and bludgeon whoever's going to stick their forearm in your back. You know what I mean?
And that's kind of my thought. He's not going to be Kobe Bryant like footwork wise as far as a wing player with great footwork in the post. But he's the fact that the effort is there and that he's going down there, that alone, it's scary. I do agree. You know, I do think that he is the best in the world. Now, the character, the things that we always talked about as it related to his character.
Hey, when you Americans say the world, like your leagues are huge.
Yeah, the mother leagues don't matter.
Arrogant Americans, man.
I do wonder whether we're going to see any mental lapses or any character things come through. But other than that,
I often still just like this boy, man. It's like, yo.
I just said he's the great. Yo, he is the best player in the world.
No, listen, man. I got you. You be on your Kobe Bryant, y'all, man, trying to sneak this. But listen, though, it's funny. NBA TV caught up with Michael Jordan. And they asked him, who would you take, Kobe or LeBron? And Mike's response was simply, five is greater than one.
And he said, if you take Kobe one, I go second. It doesn't matter. I don't do what I do for other people's approval. That was LeBron's response to what Michael Jordan said.
What did Mike say when he said choose?
He said, I take Kobe Bryant over LeBron James. And LeBron responded, you know, if you take Kobe one and I go second, you know, he basically said it doesn't matter to me. I don't do what I do for other people's approval. Like, so now you're about to get into a war of words with Michael Jordan.
That's the kind of response he's supposed to have, man, because,
I mean, that stuff is always going to be subjective. It's going to be somebody else's opinion, so you can't live on that. You can just be the best player that you can be.
Let me ask you guys a question that was posed to me that I found interesting. Let's say LeBron continues his career, continues to dominate, but let's say he only wins three rings, but he, like, just shatters the record books in every other way. Is it conceivable that he still can be the greatest ever without the rings?
No,
like, does he need to have seven or
I don't think he has to have seven championship rings to be better than Michael Jordan. That's just with, you know, I mean, and I'm a Michael Jordan stan, but I'm one to a lesser degree than a lot of people that I've seen. Like, only his Stanley say that. When they think somebody is even threatening the throne, you know, then all of a sudden somebody has to win seven championships. Even though this is probably the team sport where one person can influence the outcome the most, it's still a team sport. So if he doesn't get seven championships, but he simply destroys the NBA, destroys the NBA record books, and is just, from the eye test, a better player, then people are going to have to admit that. I mean, but you have people out there who will say to you up front, nobody will ever be better than Jordan. So they are already, you're already playing on the
playing
field because they're never going to admit it.
I completely agree with you.
Yeah.
Because
this dude could be one of the Monstars from Space Jam and they won't admit it.
It's funny because this whole notion, people get offended when you say anyone can possibly even be on the same playing field with Mike. That's just funny. This whole notion that
idol worship is a funny thing, man.
Yo, you have to admit it. You talk sports with people, and I'm talking about people who are even knowledgeable sports fans that you know are knowledgeable, but they have this thing with Michael, like, yo, like, Michael is a deity at this point. Like, yo, he has to be the greatest. Like, there's no question. And,
in my estimation, I think, I mean, LeBron is obviously going to go down as one of the greatest of all time, but I think he has done too much early on in his career that is going to take away from people making him greater or saying he's greater than Michael Jordan. Even if he wins five, if he wins seven, I think the fact that he did it in Miami and not in Cleveland, I think that will diminish it. And I think some of the playoff flameouts, the couple of playoff flameouts, that will diminish it as well.
I agree with you saying, Kill, because when a lot of people have the conversation, we're talking greatest player of all time. So it actually goes beyond skills, you know, on the court. You know, your accolades do have something to do with it. You know, your championships, of course, are going to have something to do with it. But like I said, I don't think he has to win seven championships to be there one day. But I do understand the stuff that you're saying that will maybe make people think a little bit like, well, like, I don't know. But as a pure player, like, come on. Like,
it's funny because, Kill, I understand everything you're saying. Player. But at the end of the day, when you look at all the great players, there's always that. When you talk about a Bill Russell, well, look at how many Hall of Famers he played with. Or with Wilt, he was selfish. With Magic, he played with Kareem and Worthy.
Everybody made the Hall of Fame back then.
Bird played with McHale and Parrish. You know what I'm saying? So LeBron is going to bring up all this stuff. With Michael Jordan, it's funny because in the beginning of Mike's career, people seem to forget that Jordan was considered selfish. People said he would never win a title. Jordan was all about him. It's funny how all that's
gone
now.
You're saying at the beginning. I find it funny to for people to think that Michael Jordan changed. I think Michael Jordan, and I loved him for it, was a crazy gunner. Like, people crap on Kobe Bryant for the same reasons that they praise Michael Jordan, and I crack up every time that happens. It's like, y'all.
But you know what's funny about it?
Like,
it actually works with Kobe and Jordan. And it's funny, again, shout out to Ezra because he did a video on this in our chat room. But it's funny because Kobe, when he guns the way he does, when he guns the way he does and they win, it's not a problem. But when they lose, it's like, what the hell is going on? It's the same thing with Mike. When Mike was gunning and they kept losing in the playoffs, it was Jordan is hard.
It was a problem, yeah.
Well, Mike was gunning, and they start killing people. He's the greatest player ever.
Yeah.
It's just funny. Like,
winning
people,
when they talk about Kobe, I'm like, y'all forget that Michael Jordan was an unconscious machine gun. Like,
man,
he's
Uzi weighed a ton, boy.
He came back after
night.
A year and a half, rusty as hell, and he was still gunning. Like, every minute of it. That's what I'm tuned in to see. Michael Jordan gun.
Mike had shootouts for 48 minutes until he finished, man. Mike was a
yo,
I
definitely I hear y'all. I think that one of the things we forget with LeBron is because he came in the league so young and because he is definitely dead set in the middle of his prime, he's 10 years in at this point. He's 10 years in. So he's kind of – if he's not on the other side of the mountain, he's going to get to the other side of the mountain very soon.
I don't know.
I don't foresee him playing 20 years. I don't know.
But I don't ever see this dude get seriously injured, man. This
not
dude will
he's
twist
machine,
his bro. Ankle nasty. He will twist his ankle nasty. They take him to the back. 10 minutes later, this cyborg runs back out of the joint. I don't see him get hurt.
He's AP level cyborg, yo.
Yeah, I don't see him get hurt.
No.
Scary,
you know what
man.
It is? I'm going to say this, though, Dev. You know what it is? I don't think he'll ever have serious injuries. I don't think at all. He is a cyborg. But what I think will happen is him carrying 270 pounds on the knees and jumping the way
stressful.
He does. The long-term
He's going to survive by playing power forward like Karl Malone. And just
I was about to say, when that happens, he need to just go down
forward.
Into the post and just
you're
bludgeon
right.
people.
Yeah, going into the post, even with these weakened pivot players, he came out in the media and said, yo, check in David West, and David West ain't nobody's great pivot player, but he said, yo, that I was so tired from checking
that's
David.
Not going to stop him offensively.
I mean,
he just turned into a bad defender like a lot of old veterans do.
Yeah, pretty much. Pretty
just
much.
Turned into
Kobe
a bad defender, but he'll
ain't
still.
Kobe played defense in 3 years, man. Like,
right, but
that's all
exactly.
he got to do.
Except for when he feel like it, so or when they ask
start
him to.
Start playing zone.
So stop playing
zone
defense.
Up.
That's all.
Yeah, he could play center
and just
like
keep your
Wallace.
Offensive assault on the record books going.
Right.
Yeah. That's all I'm saying. All I'm saying is that, honestly, to me, Kill, he may have peaked this season, but I don't think so just watching the games. And it's, like, scary. And
you know what's bad for him,
later.
Jimmy?
The
All-Star break might be bad for him. That might calm him down. Like, you know what I mean? A couple days break, or he might come back out and just continue his assault on the lead.
Keep talking about the training.
Yeah. All right. Well, look. But let's talk about a little thing about Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant. Interesting little story. Not a big deal. When people hear us talk about it, they're going to say, oh, man, that's not even news. But, you know, we don't, you know, talk about things for your approval, like LeBron just told Jordan. Kevin Durant sometimes doesn't want to chuck, like, those half-court heaves at the buzzer to protect his percentages, even though Coach Scott Skiles has asked them, he's asked everybody on his team to do it because, you know, you never know. At the end of a quarter, that kind of stuff might go in. You know, you might get a couple of points for it, so you never know how it affects the end of the game. Now, Kevin Durant actually said, quote, it depends on what I'm shooting from the field. First quarter, if I'm 4-for-4, I let it go. Third quarter, if I'm like 10-for-16 or 10-for-17, I might let it go. But if I'm like 8-for-19, I'm going to go ahead and dribble one more second, let that buzzer go off, and then throw it up there. So it depends on how the game's going. Like, he was completely honest, but... You know, this is nice guy Kevin Durant. Do y'all think that this is a little bit selfish or, you know, is it
I think it's selfish. I don't have a problem with it. You know, ain't nobody perfect. And his thing is, yo, I like to shoot a high percentage. I like to be efficient. I like being known as a volume shooter with a good percentage. And hell, I keep account of my shooting percentage in pickup games. So I ain't
okay, but at the same time, Austin, can't you look at it as like, this is another thing where somebody's afraid of what people think? I mean, because we know the criticism out there when somebody doesn't shoot a bad percentage.
Man,
you know,
if this wasn't,
Kobe gets
if this
chopped
wasn't
up
Kevin
for doing
Durant,
that, AI gets
if
chopped
wasn't
up
Kevin
for a bad
Durant,
percentage.
Mm-hmm. If it wasn't Kevin Durant, not only B. Austin, but everybody else would be talking pork chop greasy about it. The fact of the matter
if this is LeBron James, he's getting mm-hmm. killed. If this is Kobe, his grave would already be buried.
If it was AI.
Like that. Even though we know Kobe will never say anything like this because the difficulty of his shots are damn near like half-court shots anyway, so he don't care what kind of shot he's taking.
I bet you Westbrook let Jones fly.
He's letting the bullets fly. Here's
you know
my,
what? Because that
my thing
those potential extra 3 points is more important than, like, seriously, you miss one more shot. How much is that really going to affect your shooting?
Affect your field, yeah.
Yo, and also, I just want to give Kevin Durant credit for being honest, because
he was honest,
and
he's built up. He's built up enough character credit. He's built up enough character credit in other areas and throughout the course of his career with me to get a little bit of a pass on that. So the
but
other guys
makes it,
mentioned may or may not have the same
though,
level of character credit.
What makes it impassable, though, Austin, is the fact that their coach talks to them about this and tells them that we have to do this.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I'm saying. Like, I know it's not a big deal, like, because people are probably like, oh, what's the big deal? Why Dev's complaining? It's not really a big deal. But my point is, if the coach is asking you to do this, then, you know, I can't just give him he's Kevin Durant, the nice guy, and he got credit with me. Like, he's being selfish right now. Like, who cares about your field goal percentage? That just means you care about what people think. You care about the people. You see other dudes get criticized for bad shooting nights, and you actually care about that to the point where you're not going to try to take an extra shot at the buzzer because of that. Come on, Kev.
Hey, Dev, we don't know what's in his contract also. He may have an incentive of, at the end of the year, you know, him eclipsing a certain field goal percentage may give him an extra, you know, $100,000 or $500,000. Who knows?
You know what stops all of this then? When there's 7 seconds left and the other team scores, run and get the ball, and you take it out of bounds. Throw it to Westbrook. You will have no problem.
I mean, I hear
you're
you.
Not
I
getting
hear
it
you.
Back.
I hear you about the whole contract thing, but it's one thing that we're not talking about. His coach told him to do it, and also,
hello, you play to win the game.
No doubt.
You don't play to just play it.
I can't give him a pass because of Kevin Durant, man. You know what I mean? It's not that big of a deal, but that's my only beef, like people giving them a pass because it's Kevin Durant.
Yo, while we're on this topic, yo, let's go to our phone lines because this is between phone lines because Casey Mack wants to chime in on this NBA talk we're having.
Oh.
KC, what's good, homie?
Oh.
What it do, Warren?
What up?
I got a question for y'all.
No doubt.
I'm going to chime in on that LeBron versus Michael.
Go ahead.
Yeah.
Now,
let them know.
One thing about you have to realize, who the heck
talk
was guarding Michael back in the day? Nobody was guarding Michael back in the day.
There
Mitch
wasn't
Richmond.
A two guard. Hershey.
Now,
Hershey
think about all the two guards
Joe
and three
guards
in the NBA right now. Night in and night out. There's better competition right now. And another thing, just like
I don't know. I mean, position-wise, yes, but in terms
position
of just better competition overall?
Position-wise. That's the thing, though. When Mike beat the two guards of his day, he still had to go up against some of the best centers of all time.
Okay.
You know, that were down there waiting for him.
Now,
so that's,
and defense was hard. You could hand check and grab, too, so it was harder to score.
Okay. Well, okay. Who's going to grab LeBron? Everybody's too damn scared to grab LeBron. He's 270 pounds. He's the fastest guy on the court.
I agree with you. As far as
and
those
then
positions,
tell me
I
that,
think it's more
Michael Jordan. I mean, this guy's a bigger Michael Jordan.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see that at all.
No, I'm just saying, put like this. If you tell me that you got 6'9", 270-pound guy, and got the same skills that Jordan, I'm going to take LeBron every time.
Well,
I don't
know. That's saying that he has the same skills as Jordan.
He
doesn't
have the same skills.
Listen, and KC, listen, I'm not even the biggest Mike fan. I don't even think Mike's the best player of all time. But I also don't think that him and LeBron have the same skills. I mean, Mike had a crazy run, too. I mean, Mike had a stretch where he went, did 10 triple doubles in 11 games. So,
okay,
Mike
you know
has
what?
Put up crazy stretches and crazy numbers, too.
Let me ask y'all, did Mike ever do anything wrong? Did Mike ever have a bad game in his glorious career?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely.
You know what? Yeah, make it sound like, well, not y'all. People make it sound like Mike never had a bad game.
I know the people you're talking about. I know the people.
I know exactly the people you're talking about. I hate those people. But what I'm saying is, just to play devil's advocate, Mike never had a bad game. I mean, Mike's had a bad game. LeBron's had a bad game. Mike just never had a bad game in the finals.
And Mike,
you know what?
Mike never quit.
Did Mike take his Chicago Bulls to the final at 21?
No. I guess it don't matter when you get your ass kicked four straight games. I forgot about that. You just brought it up.
You know
Michael Jordan was only in his second year at 21, though, to be fair.
You know what? Ain't LeBron's fault.
Matter of fact,
like
Michael Jordan might have been injured the year he was 21. He might have had an ankle injury.
He had an ankle injury. But even beyond that, Michael Jordan, Michael Jordan's a great player. Do I think he's the GOAT? Not at all. This whole comparison with LeBron, I think it's way too early. I think it's way too early. But I mean, let's not just try to downplay what Mike did, though, KC. I mean, Mike has never lost the finals. You talk about taking your team to the finals. Mike never lost the finals.
You're right, and you know what? The comparison with Kobe. Kobe would never eclipse Mike because Mike never lost by 40 in the finals either, like Kobe did against the Celtics.
I'm sitting here laughing at everybody
Mike,
at how it's one
it's
person,
like
we're talking about tennis. Like, the Lakers lost by 40.
Yeah.
The Bulls
and to Austin's point, Kobe also quit, too. Kobe quit a couple games, too, but good.
The Cleveland Cavs got swept.
Exactly. I didn't say LeBron got swept. That was y'all. I was sitting back laughing at y'all conversation.
Put like this.
Cavs got swept. The Lakers lost by 40.
The Bulls
won 62.
Michael Jordan taking LeBron's Cavs team against the San Antonio Spurs and won the series.
How do we know?
I don't know.
How can you prove that he would have won?
I think he could have took that team to the finals in that weak Eastern Conference. He would have went to the finals, but there's no way to prove whether he would have won or not.
I think he
would
have beat the Spurs in the finals.
How can we prove that he would or wouldn't? You can't base an argument like this on speculation. How do we know he wouldn't?
Well, you know what? I mean, it's like this. LeBron was, he got a raw deal. So if he lost the final, he'd never be as good as Michael Jordan because Michael Jordan never lost the final. Well, heck, he lost the final at 21. So he already had a strike against him.
Why is that? You're talking about for an idiot, though. He's able to play
professional basketball in the NBA. Why are we giving him an excuse?
You're talking about
for the idiot. You know, I am tired of folks. Uriah has said it. This man's career has not been done yet. We don't know. He's getting better. You know,
I fully think
that LeBron James can end up as the greatest player of all time. I think LeBron James can end up as that.
It's not time to say that now,
but I think he can surely wind up the best of all time.
I think there's a chance, Jimmy. I think that there is definitely a chance in hell that he could become
a chance in hell, huh?
Yeah, there is that chance. I just, at this point, I've seen enough from him character-wise to where I'm like, it's a slim chance, but it could happen. He could go and told the people of Miami that he's going to win 8. So,
Well, heck, that was a hype. That was a hype show right there. Mm-hmm. I mean, heck, you ain't going to go in there and say, we're going to win one. I hope we win one. No.
Listen, Casey, the only thing I'm saying is this. I'm not the biggest Michael Jordan fan. But
I have to say that
every time. Because the thing about it is, even with me saying that, Casey is trying to downplay, it seems to me, trying to downplay what Michael Jordan accomplished.
Yeah, he is.
I mean,
just to try to pick up LeBron. At the end of the day, both of these guys are great players. The fact that we're even mentioning him with Jordan is a credit to his game. I mean, you know what I mean? It's a compliment. These guys are both great players, but let's not act like Mike wasn't that dude. You know what I mean? From a basketball standpoint.
Money tail, and yes, I got some shoes and jerseys to And, you know, I got all his crap. I probably got Space Jam somewhere.
I'm separating his impact in terms off the court from what he did on the court. Although they are tied together because he couldn't have did what he did off the court without what he did on the court.
But
let's
see,
separate
this
that.
Is what,
get all that other stuff.
This is what
I'm
talking about Michael Jordan. Jordan wants to sit there and the question
ball.
Y'all ask is, what's the difference? Would you take LeBron or Kobe? Kobe got five rings. That's horse crap. Because people fact that Kobe did not win five rings by himself, and Michael Jordan did not win six by himself.
And LeBron didn't win one by himself.
That's what I'm trying to say. So you can go ahead
and
say,
he won one with two other Hall of Famers.
The better player is not the person with the most rings.
I don't
think
that
is Robert Owens is better than Michael Jordan.
I'm just wondering, are you arguing with us, or you just want to get your point across to those people? Because we said all this already.
Jimmy asked the question, if LeBron
keeps his assault on the record books and he wins like two or three championships, can he be the best? And most of us said,
you know,
absolutely he
no.
could be the best.
Well, they don't say no. You know they are.
If you're talking about them, sure. But
we're not them.
Bottom line, this will be LeBron's end of his set. He will have over 30,000 points. He will have over 10,000 assists, and he will have over 10,000 rebounds. That's your triple double right there. And he'll probably be the only one in history who ever even have that.
Whoa! That could well be.
But at the end of the day, I mean, the great thing about basketball is it's always somebody else coming up. You know what I mean? So
right.
Kyrie Irving could surpass LeBron for Christ. I mean, we just never know what's going to happen. But at the end of the day, man, he's playing great right now. But the whole thing with the whole Jordan thing is just driving me personally crazy, because let him finish doing what he's doing, and let's talk about it at that point. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Okay, one thing. You know, LeBron won over a lot of fans last week when he played catch with that fan. Jordan, Kobe would have never done that.
What's the
I'm not looking at that.
I could care less how nice a guy is off the court. I could care less how nice he is on the court.
Hey, KC, man, I see an article coming on about this. You got to tell everybody while LeBron is already
too long. Long.
Hey, we get that out there. You might get famous off this one. All right, man. Thanks for your call.
Y'all
man.
Have a good one.
All right,
take care.
Thank you.
Be on me.
He went in. Like that's what I was asking him. Like, I guess he must be talking to the other cats, because we ain't say none of that. But yeah, he was talking to the MJ stans who think that nobody will ever be better than MJ, I guess. So
yeah, man. I mean, MJ already dropped some random ripped up jeans, man. But let's talk about some more topics. Let's jump right into our contest. And this is our contest, which is based upon All-Star Weekend. Dev, you want to announce the entire contest real fast?
Yeah, I've been trying to put it in the chat room, but obviously it's too much to copy and paste. So everybody, you only got like 15 more minutes to enter. Nobody's entered yet. You can win $100 cash from us from our NBA All-Star Weekend Pick the Winners contest. All you got to do is pick all six winners from each NBA All-Star Weekend contest. The first one's the MVP of the Rising Stars game, the winner of the Taco Bell Skill Challenge, the winning team of the Sears Shooting Stars, the winner of the Foot Locker 3-Point Shooting Contest, the winner of the Sprite Slam Dunk Contest, and the MVP of the 2013 NBA All-Star Game. But to be eligible to win, you have to call in tonight before the show is over and give your picks. And you know, the call-in number, of course, is 323-410-0012. Press 1 to let us know you're on the line, and we'll get you on the line. You can give your 6 picks, and you can try to win that, you know, if you get a sweep, you can win that $100. Go ahead, Joe. I put it on the Facebook page, so, you know,
yeah.
If people don't call in, then that's another 100 we keep.
Another 100.
Trying to give you the money.
Anyway, man, let's
talk give
about
our picks
this, whole
yeah,
All-Star
yeah.
weekend real quick, man.
Yeah.
You want to give our picks? You want to give our picks for each?
Yeah, let's give our picks, you know what I mean? All
right, cool. Let's start with
For the games, the Rising Stars and the MVP, I mean, in the All-Star game, we won't read the whole roster. You know, we just pick something. I'll read the roster for the smaller stuff, so we can go like that.
True.
So, start it off, Jim. Would you?
Okay. In terms of MVP for the, let me start off in terms of the MVP for the.
For the Rising Stars.
The BBVA Rising Stars shot. NBA sells everything, yo. My MVP for this game is going to be, I always think he's a guard dominated game, so I'm going to go with one Damian Lillard. He's on team Shaq, by the way.
That's my pick. I agree with Jimmy. Damian Lillard.
Okay. Be awesome.
Hey, Joe.
Damian Lillard. Damian Lillard by a long shot.
Kyrie is in the game. The reason I'm not picking him is because he's probably going to save a lot because he's in the All-Star game the next day.
Yeah,
and he might even start.
Thinking,
he might even start for Rondo.
Hey, I got Deion Waiters winning MVP.
Boom. Good pick.
Okay,
a different pick or what have you. Because I was about to say, is Damian Lillard just going to sweep through the entire thing? All right, so what's the next one you want to go over, Dev?
The Sears Shooting Stars.
Okay, the Shooting Stars. Okay, all right. Well, you can give your pick first this time.
They got Team Harden, Team Westbrook, Team Bosch, Paul Zett, and Team Lopez. I think I'm going to go with the home team. I'm going to go with Team Harden, which is Harden, Sam Cassell, and Tina Thompson.
Yeah, see, I was actually going to pick that, but I'm going to switch it up just because you did pick that. I'm going to pick Team Bosch, no Bosch.
No skis, noddles. No skis, noddles.
With Team Bosch then has two WNBA players.
Whoa there.
One of them is a hell of a player, then. She nice. All right, who you got? Awesome, we only got a few minutes.
Westbrook. Team Westbrook.
Team Brook with Robert Horry and Maya Moore. I don't even know who's on Team Bosch and Team Lopez. I actually know the players, but they didn't actually break it down because they're doing like an East-West thing for the whole All-Star Saturday night. So I wasn't sure which people were with them, so I never got to listing them. But Kill, who you got?
I got Sam Cassell and Team Harden.
Okay.
Yeah, so, I mean, they have to be the favorite because, first of all, Sam Cassell probably could still play in the league.
Yo, Sam's still
playing. I just want to take something different than you guys, but that has to be the favorite, though.
Oh, yeah. You know what I mean? I forgot, y'all. Tina Thompson is in this. That means she's back in the country. We were supposed to all get right. up when
oh,
she
yeah,
got back.
Yeah,
in.
She's
I forgot all
at
about
us,
that.
You know what I mean? All right, that.
So,
yo, Let's talk about the three-point contest, or should I say the Foot Locker three-point contest.
You skipped the skills challenge.
Oh, okay. I thought you didn't come. It doesn't matter where we go. You can go to the skills challenge.
I was going in order of the contest, but hey, this is up to you, brother. Roster you want me to give, skills or three-point?
All right, we just go over the skills challenge since you know.
Okay.
I'm going to order how I wrote my pick down, but go ahead, though. My bad.
Skill challenge, the East, Drew Holiday, Austin's homie Brandon Knight and Jeff T. on the West, you got Tony Parker, your man Damian Lillard, and Jeremy Lin. So go ahead, Jim. Who you got?
I'm taking Tony Parker.
Tony Parkier, he's the defending champ.
Yeah.
All right, I'm gonna be a homer. I'm going with J. Rue the Damager Holiday.
Holiday.
He don't have much skill, but he's gonna win the skills challenge. Austin?
Since you picked him for me, since he's my man, Brandon Knight.
Be Knight.
Brandon.
Be Rabbit.
Be Knight. Let's get it.
All right.
Let's get it.
Doc Bay.
Yo, since Damian Lillard will not win the MVP of the Rising Stars, I have him winning the skills challenge.
cool. So you got a rookie taking it. That's what's up. We'll see if he get it done. Watch Jeremy Lin win and tell everybody FOH.
Uh-huh.
All right.
Next so the next one is what I was waiting to talk about, which is that 3-point contest.
Boom.
Do you want me to go over the participants in the contest?
The East: Paul George, Steve Novak, Kyrie Irving. The West: Ryan Anderson, Matt Bonner, and Stephen Curry.
True.
Boom. Jimmy. All right.
All right. It's funny. I went back and forth with this. I had picked Novak, but I'm gonna go with Steph Curry, man.
Steph Curry. I'm gonna go with Steve Novak from the New York Knickerbockers.
Awesome. Yeah. Go ahead. Yeah, I was gonna say Novak too. You know, the small guys don't really win the 3-point shootout except for like Craig Hodges.
What's your reason for that? I know you got some science behind that too.
I think guys 6'2" and under, I think in the midst of getting all the rounds and all those shots up, I just don't think their body and their frame can maintain that through the contest. But the guys 6'6", 6'7", 6'10", it's easier shot for them.
Shorter shot.
Okay.
It's going to come down to a final of Steph and Steve. I'm going with my white guy from the Knicks. Steve Novak.
Novak. 3 Novaks and a Steph.
Now let's talk about
Ryan Anderson can fill it up too, though. Paul George probably going to win.
Yeah.
And can't
let's
shoot
talk about
like
the,
when
let's talk
you
about
want.
The Sprite slam dunk contest, yo.
Boom.
Does you want to give the East some
There's
dunk
only
dunk?
One.
You got
the
East. You got Gerald Green, Terrence Ross, and James Flight White. For the New York Knicks, I don't know how. The West, you got Eric Bledsoe, Jeremy Evans, and Kenneth Faried. Jeremy Evans is the dude from Utah who won it last year.
I still don't know who he is. Yo, all I'm going to say is this, man. Me and Dev talked before the show. I was like, yo, I didn't know James Flight White was in the league. But now that I know he's in the league, I think they put him in the league
just for this
contest. Because he got to play basketball. Yo,
Jimmy,
he can't play basketball. So
Jimmy has it figured out. That's exactly what happened.
A 10-day contract so they can get a better dunk contest, a better show.
Do
we have to, like, is anybody picking against this guy?
Yo, I'm not picking anyone on the planet over James. But I'm not picking anyone. He dunked with two hands from the high school 3-point line. I'm not picking against him.
Put it like this, Austin. Like, I don't know because he doesn't get any minutes, so I don't know if he still has the same kind of bounce that he once had, but if he does, then this contest is going to be a walk in the park. All he has to do is make his dunks.
Yo,
just dunks.
I played
James
White at District Heights at Run and Shoot. It is real, folks. He can touch a ceiling.
Terrence Ross.
He definitely can, yo. He definitely can.
I got James Flight White. Who y'all? Anybody picking against?
I don't think nobody. I know Austin's taking Flight White. I'm taking Flight White. Kill. Who you taking, Kill?
I'm taking James White because he's been in and out the league so much that he's just going to like use this as his coming out party.
He can't play basketball, but he can dunk. Get an endorsement or something.
All I'm saying is that we have in our chat room. Ezra says he's taking Ross. Don't sleep on Terrence Ross. But
Terrence Ross can get
shout out the idiot.
Terrence
Sports
Ross
talk.
Can leave the earth.
Kenneth Faried just going to try to rip the rim down. He's going to go out there and try to
Kyrie's
grab everybody.
Kyrie's in our chat room, and he's saying Jeremy Evans. So we got a Terrence Ross, Jeremy
Utah,
Evans.
Because he's being a homer
He's
the only black Utah
dude
jazz fan in America.
He wasn't good when he won it last year.
Yo, what y'all think about Kenneth Faried, though? Because Kenneth Faried got some surprising bunnies as well.
I think Kenneth Faried is going to run out there and get everybody's rebounds.
Manimal. They wanted him a part. They want to say Manimal at All-Star Week somehow.
That's all it
All-Star
is.
All-Star Weekend.
That's a great nickname. His nickname is Manimal.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. And I want to see what Eric Bledsoe is going to do, too. I mean, he's a 6'1 point guard in a dunk contest, so...
He does have bounce.
He's just going to do something to show you that he got bounced, but I don't think he's going to come anywhere near winning the contest.
I mean, yeah, this is true. I mean, what do you guys think about the dunk contest overall? Because we grew up watching it when it was, like, very dramatic and they change the rules.
I thought that. Me and Austin had a conversation about that today because you know how every year they show the whole string of dunk contests on NBA TV. So we were watching like three of them today. Yo, the dunk contest has always been booty.
It is.
Like, seriously, like, when you think of some of the great
dramatic moments, though.
They're great and they're dramatic because of the way they cut it up later and you know, you don't have to watch the whole contest. You're
great
just watching
and they're
the
dramatic
because
you're a kid and everything is great dramatic.
I turned the channel today to watch, what was I watching? I watched, like, Barbershop 2 because I couldn't take it anymore. The dunk contest has always been
good. Barbershop 2 is bad.
Exactly.
I'm
going to
tell you
exactly.
This much. Yo, we watched a dunk contest that included Tim Perry. And I think Tim Perry should have been cut from the 60s.
Say he should have been cut from the league.
And
Tim
short.
Perry was in that dunk contest to embarrass the 76ers. Just like, he embarrassed the 76ers by even being traded
for
Charles
Barkley. We talked about
this,
right? We talked about this last week, and Ezra just brought it up as well. They might let Bledsoe win because he's short like they did Nate Robinson. Because me and you are under agreement that Nate Robinson probably shouldn't have won any of the contests he won.
Right.
He definitely Never. Jerked Iggy. Iggy got Jay Jerkin.
Yo, Iggy made one of the greatest dunks I've ever seen.
Oh my God! And it's like you'll never see, like you never even hear about it because he didn't win.
And AI threw the assist. What kind of stuff is that?
To have AI throw an assist is like a dramatic moment in itself.
Real quick, let's go. Let's do the All-Star Game MVP because we got a call on the line. They might want to enter this contest real quick. So I could just start it off. I went back and forth of who may be able to do something, but I think just even in the flow of the game, I think LeBron James might end up winning the All-Star MVP. I don't even know who won it last year. Who won it last year? Did he win it last year?
He wins everything.
I don't even remember who won last year, but I got him winning it this year.
Is Kyrie going to start?
Oh, well, they haven't named that yet. So, it could be Kyrie, could be Drew. I'm pretty sure at this point the fans would probably rather see Kyrie. So it's up to the coach at this point. So.
Right.
Yeah, so.
They might give it to, what's the name, just because they might give it to Drew because he's been in the league longer. They might think that that's fair. So go ahead. MVPs real quick, and then we can take this call from Rob.
Kyrie Irving.
Come on. Kyrie.
Okay, you said Kyrie Irving.
I got LeBron.
It's funny, you guys pissing me off because I was gonna say Kyrie Irving too, man. Can't even be different with you guys.
Good. You got two Kyrie. Bayon, who you got?
I got LeBron.
Okay.
Two LeBron, two Kyrie. All right.
Well, that's it. Let's go to. Oh, good. You wanna go to
Rob? Yeah, Rob from York County, San Diego, chiming in. What's up, Rob?
Rob, we got 1 minute left. Speak your piece.
What's up, y'all? I just got my computer. Dang, man. The time zone, but thanks, man. I love y'all show.
Thank you.
Love your show. Who would win the Spike Dunk Contest? Jeremy Evans. I got Evans. I don't know about Bledsoe. Probably Blake Gray gave him some tips, but,
Hey, you can win. I don't know if you saw it, but you can win $100 if you pick everything right. So we can go down the list real quick because we got like 30 seconds, and you can give us your winners or your MVP for everything. Who you got as the MVP of the Rising Stars, basically the rookie sophomore game? We got to be quick, though.
Oh, come on, man. Kyrie Irving.
All right, you got Irving. Who you got for the Shooting Stars? Team Harden, Team Westbrook, Team Bosh, or Team Lopez?
Team Harden.
Harden Skills Challenge, Drew Holiday, Brandon Knight, Jeff Teague, Tony Parker, Damian Lillard, or Jeremy Lin?
Parker.
Defending his championship. 3-point contest. Paul George, Kyrie Irving, Steve Novak, Ryan Anderson, Matt Bonner, or Steph Curry?
Steph Curry.
All right, and you already said, who'd you say for the dunk contest? Jeremy Evans.
Yeah, Jeremy Evans.
All right, All-Star Game MVP before we get you out of here.
All-Star MVP, LeBron.
All right, LeBron.
No, hey, Rob.
All right,
Rob,
we out, Rob.
Hit us up. hit us up on Facebook or Twitter, and, you know, we'll keep you posted, all right?
All right. Thank you, and keep doing what y'all doing, man.
All right, man. Take it easy, homie. Yo, right. Man, let's get out of here. Only thing I got to say, ladies and gentlemen, is join us next week. It's the War Room. You know where to find us. Everywhere online, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. We rule the internet, and we are the greatest. Listen, until next week, everybody, don't accept mediocrity and be steadfast in the war against ignorance. See you chumps on top.
All the blueprint.
Yo,
every Thursday, 6 to 8, they do this. Shout out to Dez, PJ, B-Austin, Doc Bay on replay. WarRoomSports.com. Get that mobile app. If not, dial.
Call it
323-0012. If you're going and you're sensitive, then oh well.
Yeah.
Physical podcast, let's talk sports. Showtime like magic in the block push.
Magic.
Listen live, push one to join in. Rip your team or listen for your enjoyment. Hip-hop dollars, pit-stop knowledge. Should be in sports credits, I ain't talking college. Five guys, no beef though. Corporate secrets, but the streets know. Belafonte, I got a G-flow. KC, royalty, I'm in beast mode. 2 hours, get your game up. Who's the best in sports cast? You better name us. War Room Sports.
War Room Sports, www.warroomsports.com. What? Ain't no more to it.